Well, it's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, Minnesota, my hometown, out on the edge of the prairie. It is warming up, getting up into the 30s and 40s are forecast, and daylight savings time starts on Sunday, so there will be a coffee hour at the Lutheran Church 1 hour before the service for people who forget to turn their clocks forward. But attendance is bound to be up. Pastor Liz is going to be preaching on the Ten Commandments right out of the book of Ezekiel, particularly the third commandment to remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy, the day of rest, Sunday in the case of Lutherans, a day to put business aside and take a break and give yourself a chance to think. She made a point of telling Ralph down at the grocery and Dorothy at the Chatterbox Cafe that theirs are essential businesses, and so they're entitled to stay open on Sunday. But let it be a day different from all of the others. As it says in the poem Wordsworth wrote, "The world is too much with us, late and soon, getting and spending, we lay waste our powers. Little we see in nature that is ours. We have given our hearts away, a sordid boon." It's spring break at the Lake Wobegon High School this next week. They had a bunch of tests on Thursday and Friday, students studying for them at home, lying on the floor with their legs up on the wall in their bedrooms, doors locked, and iPods and cell phones and computers all around them, and maybe a book or two. But studying while they're in constant communication with 5 or 6 or 8 or 10 friends, late on into the night, music playing, they go hopping around from texting to email to website to textbook like water bugs on a pond, and then to the kitchen to forage, and then back, and the parents lie awake upstairs listening and worrying because their son has hit the wall in math and doing very poorly in history, and his writing is atrocious, but he's very popular in school, but he's never going to get into any decent college, but maybe he'll do well in sales, hard to tell. But what will he sell that he can understand? We don't know. He won first place at the talent contest this last week, singing "I Did It My Way," which is unfortunate, beating out his girlfriend Emily, who tap danced to "I Want to Be Loved by You," and so they're not speaking to each other this week, which her parents are grateful for, because Emily is something of an airhead, and when you put two airheads together, you stand a fair chance of having a 17-year-old mommy and daddy living in your basement, this is not anything that you would ever want. His parents are praying. They're praying every day, not for anything specific, you know, like Harvard or West Point, you know, but just sort of all-purpose parents' prayer. Just, you know, "Dear Lord, don't let the worst happen," you know. Just pray that it be okay, or at least not as bad as it could have been. You know, just spare us from the worst and, you know, bestow upon us the not-so-bad, and amen and thank you. So, an old graduate of Lake Wobegon High walked into the Chatterbox Cafe this week, Ronnie Detmer. He sat down, he ordered a cheeseburger, and Dorothy walked right over and she said, "Ronnie, don't you go out on the ice. It's not safe. Stay off it." He's been away for 20 years. He's lived in California for 20 years. And he's almost forgotten about that March night 25 years ago, when he drove his dad's Winnebago out onto the ice with three of his pals. They were going to go fishing. It was a warm night. They got drunk. And so they slept in the Winnebago out on the ice. And they woke up to find the ice was melting. And he got behind the wheel. And he gunned the engine. And he made it to shore. But he busted the transmission, just chewed it to pieces. And he bent the frame. And the whole thing was a complete wreck and not insured. And so he had to go to work for 2 years to pay back his dad for the damage that he'd caused. But Dorothy remembered this whole thing of course. And so did other people that he met. He's in San Diego. He's become a lawyer. He's done very, very well. And he's very sleek and well-dressed and prosperous, got children of his own. But in Lake Wobegon, he comes back after all these years, and he is a museum piece. Boy who wrecked the Winnebago. You never, ever get away from it. Lillian Tolaru died this past week at the age of 93. No need to grieve. Her service will be on Wednesday at the Lutheran Church. She was a Doyle. She was Irish through and through. But she married a Norwegian, and over time she came to love him in her own way. But she was Irish all the way. She was critically ill about 10 years ago, and but refused to die with a Republican in the White House. And so she rallied, and she got another decade out of just sheer stubbornness. For years, she was the heart and soul of the Lake Wobegon Lutheran Church quilters, the women who cranked out quilts for the poor. No quilts as art forms. They were just assembly line there. They made them as fast as they could. They made bales of quilts. You were a ripper or a sorter or an ironer, or you were a cutter or a sewer or a tire, but you just did as fast as you could. And they turned out all these quilts every winter. And she was the host of St. Patrick's Day at her home. And every St. Patrick's Day, she would take a glass of whiskey, and she would sing, "A nation once again, a nation once again, and Ireland long a province be, a nation once again." And being Irish, she was drawn to hopeless causes and long shot odds. Her finest hour was 15 years ago. She was 88 years old, my gosh, when the Postal Service announced that they were going to close our post office and said that the Lake Wobegon postmark would no longer be used, that our letters would from now on be stamped St. Cloud. And Lillian, who looked more frail than she actually was, she went to St. Cloud to the regional office, and she camped on the sidewalk a bitter, bitter winter day. She camped in front of the regional office with a big sign that said, "I will die to save my town. Give us back our post office." It was very cold. She sat out there bundled in quilts, and her white hair was flying in the wind. And, of course, it got on television. And Lillian, when she saw the red light on the front of the camera go on, Lillian sang in her cracked, ruined voice, "I'll die to save my town. I'll die to save my town. And we shall not a zip code be, but dear Lake Wobegon." And other old ladies joined her there on the sidewalk, and the sheriff had to carry them. Deputies had to carry them into jail. They refused to go. And Washington was on the phone the next day concerned that these old battle axes were going to croak, and then what? And the post office was saved. Yes, indeed it was, which Pastor Liz will tell all about on Wednesday. She was at death's door for about 2 weeks, and then she rallied. She sat up. She had some bean soup. She talked a blue streak about her father, who she dearly loved. And she told a joke about Ole and Lena, and the very next day she was gone. It happens often to old people. They rally, and then suddenly they poof, the wind blows them away. Marlene, the church secretary, was supposed to leave for Key West, but she canceled because she's the funeral arranger at the Lutheran Church. And the last time she was not on hand to personally supervise a funeral, the deceased was buried in the wrong place. It was the Inquist's maiden aunt, Myrtle, and they buried her next to a cousin whom she could not stand. And what can you do? You can't dig up the dead just because they're unhappy. So Marlene keeps an eye on these funerals, and there will be a piper at Lillian's funeral, Lillian Doyle Tollerud, a fine piper who will pipe a nation once again. And Danny Boy, the pipes are calling. So the ice houses are all off the lake now, and the ice is bare. It's waiting to melt and waiting for a warm day and the crows are out now and calling to us early in the morning, and geese are flying north now, heading for their homes way up there. The maple sap is running. The skunks are wandering around looking for companionship. And spring, I tell you, spring is on the way.